back here on 790 The Ticket. Zach Duarte, Greg Likens, Danny the Sports Bomber taking you up till 10 o'clock tonight. Thank you so much for making us a part of your evening. If you want to interact with us on the show, 67974 is where you can do so. It's the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. So, Greg, you were saying something interesting when I walked back in the room. I went to go stretch my legs. You know, sitting down for 4 hours, things cramp up a little bit. Came back in the studio, and you were in the middle of saying something about your fantasy draft, and you have an interesting way of assigning your draft order this year. I'm very interested in this because I'm the commissioner of my league, and I was asked to set the draft order tonight.
Have you done it yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you saw me before the show. Like, I haven't had a second to breathe.
I mean, I assumed, but I didn't want to assume. So
no, I have not.
I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt there.
So what is it that you guys are doing?
So, okay, every year in this particular league, it's the traditional put all the names on a piece of paper into a box or into a hat, and then you have a couple of neutral parties pick them out. And this league's pretty serious, so the commissioner always has another member of the league, and then they film it. And then they send it, you know, send that out just in case people question it, whatever. So this year, he sends an email to the entire league and says, I've figured out a new idea that he saw somewhere else, and this is what we're going to do. Week two of the preseason, I'm going to randomly assign everyone a game. And based on the results of each of the preseason games, specifically based on total points scored in said preseason games, that will indicate draft order for this year's fantasy football draft. So the team with the game that scores the most points then gets the number one overall pick, and then it goes down from 1 to 12. And I happen to be assigned the Broncos 49ers game, which is the last game of this weekend. And so as it's starting coverage on ESPN for Monday Night Football, I was telling Danny G, the Sports Bomber, during the commercial break, I actually am interested in this game when I otherwise wouldn't be, because I want to see the Broncos and 49ers score as many points as possible at all costs. I don't care how they come. Just put a bunch of points on the board, and then I'll get the number one overall pick in the draft.
So, like, how many points do you need to be scored tonight?
Well, that's a really good question. As I take a glance at what happened earlier in this week's game of preseason, let's see. So, like, the Raiders-Cardinals, there were 59 combined points in that game. I think that's leading the way so far. You also had, 53 points between the Texans and the Lions. And then the Giants and the Bears scored 45. Yeah, so I need – to get the number one overall pick, I need at least 59 points.
Okay.
Combined score.
Well, luckily you didn't have the Dolphins-Buccaneers game.
Somebody had that game.
Well, obviously, yeah.
And, that was a pathetic performance.
Yeah. I mean, it was 6-3. He must have been sweating in the fourth quarter.
Well, how about the Steelers-Chiefs? That was 24 combined points. Same with the Cowboys-Rams, 24 combined points.
There you go.
Did you watch any of the games yesterday?
No.
Saints-Chargers, Taysom Hill.
I tried to take – although I know he's looking better than Teddy Bridgewater is.
I mean, people keep talking about Teddy Bridgewater as the heir apparent to Drew Brees whenever he decides to hang him up.
I don't know about that one.
Taysom Hill, man. He was excited. He made preseason football exciting.
He had, like, two touchdowns yesterday in the second half.
Also ran for 53 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem in New Orleans.
But is it going to be a problem, or is it an avoidable problem because Taysom Hill plays receiver, he plays tight end, plays H-back?
Well, it depends, like, if you need a roster spot, you know?
Right, but he's active, I guess is my point, on every Sunday, regardless of what Teddy Bridgewater is doing.
Well, but again, like, how much do you value Teddy Bridgewater? Because if you need a roster spot and you have one guy who's shown himself capable and he is very valuable in other assets too, where if he's not playing quarterback, he is doing something and the other guy's doing nothing. So what do you do if you need a roster spot? Like you look at the Dolphins, right? They face an interesting scenario with their skill position players. How many wide receivers are they going to keep? How many tight ends are they going to keep? How many running backs are they going to keep? Because they have a lot of good ones at those three positions. Tight end, maybe not so much, but there's not a lot of disparity between the first to the fourth tight end on the roster, right? Wide receivers, you got Albert Wilson, Jakeem Grant, who we haven't seen yet, Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, Alan Hurns, Isaiah Ford,
Bryce Butler,
this Irwin kid. How many are they going to keep? 5, 6? What about the running backs? Obviously, they're going to keep Chandler Cox, Kalen Ballage, Kenyon Drake, Mark Walton. That's already 4. Are they going to keep this Laird kid? Are they going to keep Gaskins, who they drafted? So if you're New Orleans and you're in that situation, you probably need that roster spot where you can only keep 2 quarterbacks, right? Now, Taysom Hill does other stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends there, but I don't know, man. Taysom Hill's looking good.
No, he is.
Damn you, Jeff Ireland.
And you make a good point. However, I wonder if the Saints just do what they did last year, where they had 3 quarterbacks active every week, because Taysom Hill is putting his body on the line, right? So he's not just out there like as a backup quarterback. He's out there playing all these different roles. So the injury rate or possibility for him increases. I wonder if they just keep the same plan because, you know, Breeze goes out. I don't think they want to have just Taysom Hill potentially as the backup on game day, considering he could injure himself on the first play of the game based
right.
on how they're
True.
Utilized.
That's a good point.
So Bridgewater's just kind of there hanging out, but
yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Is a viable option where there's no chance he's getting hurt standing on the sideline, where Hill, there's a decent chance he and Breeze get hurt in the same game, and then what do they do?
Right. No, I hadn't thought of that. That's the scenario I hadn't thought of. You are correct. By the way, damn you, Jeff Ireland. Damn you.
By the way, I saw a tweet yesterday from Mike Pouncey. Maybe he was on Instagram, but you know, of course, somebody found it and they posted it. And he posted a picture of him and Jeff Ireland because the Chargers and the Saints played. And he said something along the lines of, "Hey, great to see Jeff Ireland again. He drafted me, you know, 15th overall in whatever year it was, 2013, I guess it was."
Pouncey was, no, I think it was 2011.
Yeah,
it was
the year before Tannehill. Yeah. And I'm only thinking to myself, Mike Pouncey, I mean, listen, it makes sense that he likes Jeff Ireland. Jeff Ireland drafted him, but that was, what, one of the very few draft selections
Correct.
That worked out for Jeff Ireland?
Correct. What happened to Deion Jordan, right?
Among others.
Yeah. Among others. Where's Michael Agnew? Anybody remember Mike? I thought Michael Agnew was going to turn out decently as well. If you guys want to get in, 67974, great question here on the text line. How do
yes.
you break a tie for the draft order?
Very good question. I have no idea. That is uncharted territory at this point.
What would be a good tiebreaker, though? Total yards? If you're going total points, right?
Paper, rock, scissors?
No.
By the way,
who says paper, rock, scissors?
Rochambeau?
It's rock, paper, scissors, man.
Yeah, rock, paper, scissors.
What? Who says paper, rock, scissors?
Who cares?
No. That's a big deal.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's rock, paper, scissors, man.
Paper, rock, scissors.
No. Get the hell out of here with that. You're new on the show. Like, no, Danny. Is that seriously how you say it?
Yeah.
Like your whole life? Paper, rock, scissors?
Yeah. That's how I heard it in middle school.
Does anybody else out there, 67974, does anybody else say paper, rock, scissors? I'm going to go with no. I'm going to go with no, that not one person is going to text in that says they say it that way.
I think paper, rock, scissors is un-American.
Wow.
I kind of agree with it.
Holy crap, man.
Nobody should say paper, rock, scissors. It's rock,
I don't know.
Paper,
it's
scissors.
Just how I heard it in middle school. It's just
so that's how you've always said it?
Yeah. That's how I heard it at W.R. Thomas Middle School in the 1980s. What do you want me to tell you?
What if there is a news story on CBS4 overnight you got to write about? You can't put in the teleprompter paper, rock, scissors.
No, I put in Rochambeau.
Yeah. You're not looking good here, man.
You ready for this? I just pulled up the email.
Oh, boy.
If there's a tie in total points, the tie will be broken by highest number of total offensive yards in the games.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yards.
If a game is canceled, postponed, or doesn't play due to weather, field, etc., that team will automatically get the number 7 pick.
Huh.
That's random.
Yeah, that is random. why wouldn't you just, like, you have, how many teams are in this league?
12.
So then you should just be assigned a backup game.
Agreed, because
out of the other remaining games that are left.
He threw out the 2 games with the highest projected totals based on Vegas' numbers entering the weekend, and the 2 games with the lowest projected totals.
Very smart.
So we're using the 12 middle games based on projected totals, and then that's the tiebreaker, total offensive yards in the games. Thankfully, no game has been canceled or postponed. So, and this game is not going to be either, so we don't have to worry about that. But, yeah, how are you going to determine the draft order tonight?
I want to pitch that idea. I like that. Otherwise, it's just like a random auto. You know.
You could do it for week three. I don't know. When's your draft?
Of course. Yeah. Well, it'll be it's always right before the season.
Okay.
It's always right before the season.
I have both my drafts Labor Day night.
Labor Day.
Back to back.
Okay.
Monday
all right.
Night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the problem with me is I'm on the air. So, gonna have to figure that one out pretty soon. We'll figure that one out soon.
Will you be on the air? Well, yeah. So you either have to do it over a weekend,
or while I'm on the air,
or you could start the draft at 10 o'clock at night.
Eh,
you're the commish.
That's a little bit late, though.
You're the commish.
It's gonna go past 11. I don't know about that. By the way, how old is everybody in this league that we're emailing everybody? We don't have like a group text group WhatsApp chat.
Your league?
No, your league.
Oh. Well, it's a wide range.
Yeah, I feel like we're a little bit older. A little bit older there. Are you one of the younger people?
I think so. You know who? We got some familiar names in this league. I don't know if I should reveal everybody who's in the league.
Yes, do it.
There's some people you would know.
Like?
Like Troy Stratford.
Oh, I love Troy Stratford.
Yeah.
Love Troy Stratford. Someone says, it's rock, paper, scissors from hardest to weakest. Come on, Danny. Come on, man. Yeah, kids in middle school say that, not fully grown, developed adults.
Yes, because rock, paper, scissors, I had to think about that now, is just such a mature game.
Someone says paper, rock, scissors has better rhythm. No, it does not.
Thank you!
No, it does not. It's so choppy.
Paper, rock, scissors.
No. It sounds unnatural.
No, it's not. It's terrible.
Rock, paper, scissors has like a stop in there, like rock, paper, scissors. Paper, rock, scissors just rolls.
No, it doesn't.
Absolutely. Try singing it one time.
I said it a lot. It
doesn't roll. Let it roll off the tongue. It
doesn't roll.
Rolls right
off. There's a lot of stops.
Please don't say it. Please don't say it. I mean, it's just, we've heard it enough.
Yeah, it's like Greg Ligon said, I agree, it's un-American. How dare you? Greg's league is full of AOL email addresses.
Yeah, let me double check on that. Yeah, let's see.
That is hilarious. I bet you Troy's AOL email address.
We got a Gmail. We got a Bill South. We got an AOL. There's at least one AOL.
Wow.
There's a Gmail.
Wow.
There's another AOL.
Wow.
A Yahoo.
Is Yahoo an old? Because I have Yahoo.
There's a Yahoo, a Gmail, a Yahoo, an AOL.
So three AOLs?
An AOL.
Oh, four AOLs. Okay, this is an old league.
Four AOLs out of 12.
Yeah, that's an old league.
Yeah.
That's old. 67974 if you want to text in on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Let's go ahead and get to our headlines. If we have headlines. Do we have any?
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Let's start with college football, where the AP preseason top 25 was released this afternoon as Clemson comes in at number one in the country, followed by Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State to round out the top five. At number eight, the Florida Gators are ranked as, of course, they'll play the Miami Hurricanes this Saturday night in week zero. The Canes, by the way, not ranked, but received they have fourth most receiving votes out of the rankings. They'd be hypothetically 29th. Also in the state of Florida, UCF comes in at number 17. Meanwhile, from college to the pros, let's provide an injury update for the Miami Dolphins, who are back at practice today. Safety Rashad Jones, who had missed 3 weeks with a foot injury, returned to practice, as did receiver Jakeem Grant. But a long list of players who missed practice, including four linebackers, Kiko Alonso, Raekwon McMillan, Andrew Van Ginkle, Chase Allen, three receivers, Devontae Parker, Allen Hurns, and Albert Wilson. You also were missing running back Kenyon Drake and safeties T.J. McDonald and Walt Akins. Monday Night Football is now underway as the Denver Broncos hosting the San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo is making his first start since his ACL injury last season in September. Right now it's scoreless, just a little over a minute into the first quarter. We'll keep you updated on that. And finally, the Marlins have the night off. They start a three-game series against the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta tomorrow. And those are your headlines.
Oh, the Marlins. Like 32 games under 500 now. There was a little point there where they're like 500 for a good month of the season, and then, I don't know, they just got hit by the injury bug. But anyways.
They got off such a rough start.
Well, that's what happens when you're relying on Curtis Granderson, Lewis Brinson, Neil Walker, Martin Prado, Wei-Yin Chen, Adam Connolly, a bunch of old guys, and Lewis Brinson. Then they brought up the young guys, right? Then they brought up Zach Gallen, Yamamoto, and Garrett Cooper, and who else am I missing there? Harold Ramirez. Yeah, then we brought up some young blood, and we started winning. The Marlins were actually 500 for like a good month or two. And then we brought back up Hector Noesi, Lewis Brinson again, some guy named John Bertie, who I've never heard of in my life, and he's playing actually pretty well, but he's also not part of your future because he's 29 years old. That's what I don't get. Like, okay, you just traded a quality caliber starting pitcher, who, by the way, is starting tonight for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he's 1-0. For the Diamondbacks, for a shortstop that you could have called up after Miguel Rojas pulled his hamstring. I'm just saying, like.
I mean, you can't just call these guys up, though, Zach. You got to, like, you know, let them develop. You don't want to come up to bring them to the major league too soon and destroy their confidence.
Okay, and when is that? Like, let me ask you this question, right? When you, like, Jorge Guzman, right?
Sure.
How much better can you be than six scoreless, hitless innings, and you strike out 13 batters? How much better can you be?
Hey, man, you got to evaluate.
Like, it took them forever to call up Zach Gallen, who was 9-1 with a 1.2 ERA. And then they traded him.
I got to be honest. I agree with the Marlins here. Error on the side of caution.
Well, how much stock are we putting into the notion that they want to maintain their service years as well? So you don't want to bring them up too soon.
But I don't think you burn a service year because a guy starts six games.
Well, I'm saying it all depends per situation. That has to be part of the thought process as well, right?
I looked up this rule actually before, and I'm going to look it up again, but let me read this here. MLB service. Okay. A major league season. By MLB rules, a major league season is 187 days long. Players who spend 172 or more days on the active major league 25-man roster, including time on the major league injured list, are credited with a full season of service time. So none of these guys are going to get a full year. What are you afraid of? Why can't we see any of these young guys? Why am I watching 32-year-old Hector Noesi? And who's the other guy? Like, I can't remember. There's another pitcher that they're throwing out there right now who's not pitching well at all. Gosh. Someone help me out here. Please. Nobody else watches Marlins baseball. That's the problem around here.
Buehler.
Actually, the Marlins beat Walker Buehler the other day. They did. Oh, Elizer Hernandez. Is he part of your future? I don't think Elizer Hernandez is part of your future. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Anyways, that's your 2 minute of Marlins talk.
By the way, we don't have to talk about this right now, but maybe a little tease for everybody. I'm seeing something on social media courtesy of one of the Florida Gators beat writers.
Ooh.
That does not bode well, I would say, for Miami's chances on Saturday.
Ooh, let's talk about that next here on 790 The Ticket. Back here on 790 The Ticket, Zach Duarte and Greg Likens, Danny the Sports Bomber here with us, take you up till 10 o'clock tonight. Really appreciate you guys making us a part of your evening. It's awesome. Thanks for texting us in. Someone says, Zach, you know nothing about the minor leagues and even less about the process. That is false. I know a lot about the minor leagues, and the minor league teams know a lot about me. That's why they send me free merch. I've got the Baby Cakes, the Lumber Kings, Woodpeckers. I got all their gear, man.
Now, do they send you free merch because they know a lot about you or because you beg for the free merch?
I don't beg. I ask. It's a difference.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to, you know, say. If you show any interest in minor league clubs at all, they will.
Well, I also say I am a sports radio host in Miami.
Exactly.
Yeah, that helps. That helps.
You ever put any time in Jupiter?
No, I haven't been over there. But I did reach out. I sent them an email. Didn't hear back. So I was like, pfft. Screw you guys.
This is my first internship, man. I worked for the Jupiter Hammerheads.
Well, then maybe
Hammerheads
you should reach out to somebody there and tell
them
to.
No problem. I will do just that, Zach.
Yeah, thank you. Who do the Jupiter Hammerheads think they are?
Is that is that gonna really help the culture of the show?
No.
Is that gonna be his contribution, Danny's?
Listen, if you can help me get the Hammerheads memorabilia, we'll be good.
You mean you tell me you've gotten all these? You haven't gotten any Hammerheads memorabilia?
Listen, I sent out one email. Nobody responded.
Nobody responded.
Like, so, yeah. Like Greg, I'm not gonna beg.
I talked to my boy Dangerous Dan. See if he's
like,
still up
like
there.
I'll tell you straight up. Nobody in this market has talked more about the Marlins minor league teams, especially the Baby Cakes and the Lumber Kings, than me.
I don't doubt that.
Than me. So, Mr. Texter, you know nothing about the minor leagues? Yes, I do. Trust me.
By the way, the Baby Cakes, that they kind of creep me out. That the whole
yeah.
World, right?
Well, apparently this is their last year as either a Marlins affiliate or as a team. I'm not sure which one.
Like, why would you name your team that, though?
Well, it's a New Orleans thing.
Right, but the logo, the visual.
Okay, but, like, the whole reason why I got started on this was because the minor league logos are awesome.
Very unique.
There are some incredible minor league logos. None more further proven than the San Antonio Flying Chunklas. And if you don't believe me, hit Google, and then in the search bar, type San Antonio Flying Chunklas, and you will see a Miami Vice-esque Flying Chancla. It is so cool.
It's pronounced Chancletas.
But the logo is Chancletas.
Chancletas. I know. I've seen San Antonio Chancletas.
I know it's Chancletas. Trust me. I've been hit by one before. But.
That's about the extent of your Spanish right there. Well, was the beating you took from the Chancletas?
Can we get the background story on that?
Well, it's a Hispanic thing. You know?
No, I know. Can we get the background story?
I misbehaved as a child and I was spanked with a Chancleta.
Okay.
You know, like there's.
I didn't know if there was more to it.
No, that's every Hispanic boy's.
By the way,
childhood.
I'm looking at the Baby Cakes logo now, and do you know what it looks like? I just saw this movie the other day. Remember in Total Recall, Quato, like the thing that came out of like the dude's stomach that was like the baby. It was like Quaid. That's what the Baby Cake looked like.
No, nobody remembers that, but you. I feel like it's one of the toys.
No, hold on, textures. Tell me you don't remember the queer, creepy guy in Total Recall. I am not alone on that.
I feel like it's the toy from Toy Story in the kid's room, Sid's room.
Okay, that's good,
that
too.
That comes out, it's like, wee, on the little roller thing. you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what both things are. I know what both things are.
Okay, but which one do you think people remember more?
Depends on the generation.
No, just in general, Toy Story or Total Recall?
Toy Story.
Okay. There's a theme park for it, man. There's a theme park for it. So Greg had a ginormous radio tease. Right, Greg?
Yes.
You had something that you wanted to tease.
I just think this new information that we've gotten here into the studios, that it does not bode well for the Miami Hurricanes' chances on Saturday night. You ready for this?
I mean, whew, what is like, trying to think of a famous Florida Gators player without it being the most obvious one.
Felipe Franks.
No, current, a former.
Former.
Gators.
Sexy,
yeah.
Rexy.
What?
Sexy Rexy
Rex
Grossman.
No.
Javon Kearse.
Ike Hilliard.
No. Can't go.
Fred Taylor.
Can't go with Aaron Hernandez.
Willie Green.
Greg Likens. Ooh.
Emmett Smith.
Ooh.
Lewis Oliver.
Ooh. Matt Moore.
Jarvis Williams.
Antonio Callaway.
Caleb Sturgis.
Lorenzo Hampton.
Carlos Dunlap. Eddie Pinheiro.
Tim Tebow.
Oh, there you go. You hit it.
According to Edgar Thompson, who covers the Florida Gators for the Orlando Sentinel, used to cover the Dolphins way back in the day, Gators legend Tim Tebow at Monday night's practice plans to speak to the team Saturday before the Miami game.
That's it. We lost.
I mean, I don't feel good about Miami's chances. I didn't before. I certainly don't. Ben Volen quote tweeted it and said Gators by 50.
That's it. Religion is with the Gators now. We are out.
I'm sure Robbie likes his chances a lot more with that bet.
No, I mean, 28.5, come on.
I think Tim Tebow bores the team to death and the Canes win.
So you think it has a reverse effect?
Well, hey, gosh, guys, you know, it's just such an important thing to be a Florida Gator. And it's about your teammates,
like,
and it's about God, and it's about all these things. And I'm just really looking forward looking forward to watching you guys go out there and just play Gators football.
That's not how Tim Tebow sounds.
Here's a question I can pose. If Tim Tebow is going to be the motivating factor / guest speaker, who would you choose to be the Canes guest speaker Saturday?
Oh, we could go with some of the obvious ones, right? like Ed Reed, Warren Sapp,
Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis or Michael Irvin, right there.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, those are some of the obvious ones. Is there like a more obscure one? Is there a famous Miami Hurricane that's not a sports player?
Rick Barry?
The Rock? Rick Barry? Donna Shalala?
Alex Rodriguez is a wannabe Hurricane.
It's true.
I mean.
Donna Shalala?
Get Donna Shalala out there.
Al Golden?
I can't imagine that would be all that
Frank
inspiring.
Haith.
Frank Haith. Nevin Shapiro?
Larry Coker?
What about Howard Schnellenberger?
Oh, bro, please leave poor Howie alone, bro. He's getting up there.
He doesn't make much sense these days anymore. So I covered Howard his last year at FAU for the school newspaper. Like, I got to travel with the team and all that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was.
Covering a legend right there.
Yeah, but they were terrible. They were 1-11, and they won like their second to last game of the season. That was the season that Alfred Morris was a senior, and every article I'm like, they had this guy named Graham Wilbert, I think his name was the quarterback, and he was terrible. And they had Alfred Morris at running back, and I'm like, they would give him like 12 carries a game. I'm like, give that guy the ball more. And then the first game, I think they gave him like 30 carries. He had like 4 touchdowns. They won. They beat UAB at home, their final home game. I have a picture of Howard Schnellenberger being carried. He's holding up the number 1 in the new stadium. Pretty cool moment, but it was a terrible season. They were so bad. And they started off that year playing, there was a gauntlet the first 3 games. I think they played Auburn, Florida, and Michigan State to start the season. Yeah. getting that money in for the new stadium is what it was.
So with Alfred Morris, considering the way you described his workload, did anybody have an inclination that he was going to go on to do
not
what he did
that,
in the NFL?
Not that much, but he was the best player on the team.
Right, because like Devin Singletary was a draft pick, and everybody knew he was a great player, right? The FAU had a Heisman campaign for him, for goodness sake. But Alfred Morris, it sounds like he was flying under the radar on a 1-11 team. I mean, the record certainly doesn't help his cause. But by the way, we do have a relatively breaking news that's popping up here.
Uh-oh.
According to ProFootballTalk.com, they've tweeted, per source, Antonio Brown has filed a new grievance against the NFL over its attempt to prevent him from wearing any Shut Air Advantage helmet less than 10 years old.
My God. This story.
The saga continues.
Thank God he's not a member of the Miami Dolphins. What a joke this guy is, man. What a joke. What a selfish, selfish player he is. I can't take any more of this guy. And I loved Antonio Brown as a player. Loved him. Loved him as a fantasy owner. Can't stand the guy anymore. What a selfish, narcissistic person, man.
Do you think this is really about the helmet?
No.
Or is this just about him maintaining his spot in the headlines?
No, it's about him not being at training camp.
Wait, why does he care if he's at training camp or not?
I don't think he left practice yesterday. He left the middle of practice.
And he was back this morning.
Yeah, because if you heard today on First Take, Drew Rosenhaus had to come on to an interview.
Right.
And then Marcus Spears came on after the interview and said, hey, look, Drew can say all he wants to say. He had 6 months to figure out the helmet thing.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's just about him not being on the practice. Like, he doesn't want to be in training camp.
You know what's so crazy about this helmet story? I heard Rich Eisen talking about this. He said he had inside information. So it makes everyone think that he talked to Mike Mayock about it, because Mike Mayock is a longtime broadcast partner. Regardless of where he got the information, Rich Eisen was explaining that Antonio Brown is so obsessed with this specific helmet that he has had the helmet since he was drafted. And when he was traded from the Steelers to the Oakland Raiders, he literally brought the helmet with him and asked the Raiders, can you turn this from a Steelers helmet to a Raiders helmet? And they said no. And he was still trying to paint it silver and black because he wants this type of helmet. Now, what I just described there, it's the same style, make helmet. It's just a newer version of it that he's trying to get the NFL to approve. But the bottom line in all this is that the NFL has implemented these rules about the types of helmet that you can wear to try to prevent head injuries and CTE specifically, yet Antonio Brown doesn't want to play with a helmet that will protect him and his long-term health and be more beneficial to him. Why? You just think it's a ploy so he doesn't have to go to
Absolutely. Play. If he – like today they asked Rosenhaus, is he going to play week one? And he said, look, I can't guarantee you anything, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be out there week one and he wants to play football. Bada-da-da-this, bada-da-da-that. Okay, so if that's the case and the helmet's been such a problem, even though you had 6 months to figure it out and you're for sure going to be back on the field week one, this just sounds like you're just trying to find a way not to be on the field for training camp.
I think it may be that – personally, I think it's more that he – remains in the headlines. I think he loves the attention. You're talking about being narcissistic, talking about being an egomaniac. That's what this whole offseason's been about, right? Him forcing his way out of Pittsburgh, him posting stuff on social media, look at me, watch me. It feels like that is a big part of it. But you know the team is fed up when Mike Mayock decides not only to make the statement he made last night, but
voluntarily make it.
But how about then, like, the Oakland Raiders website and all their social media channels, when they post it right away and say, hey, a message from our general manager calling out a player? That's when you know the team wants to send a message. Because most of the time when something like that happens, and I know having worked for a team before, that it happens, but then they try to, you know, soften it or cover it up a little bit. Or maybe they cite some other outlet. But the Raiders said, no, no, we want this all front and center on our pages, on our social media. You know they're sending a message. The best part about this whole thing, Zach, it's all being documented on Hard Knocks. And we will see the next part of this saga tomorrow night on HBO.
You know, I haven't started watching that yet, and I've been meaning to. But that's what happens when you work 12 days in a row. So I gave B some crap for that.
Tell me you need the time off so you can watch
Hard Knocks. Well, I freaking missed you, Greg. I'm so glad you're back.
I'm happy to be back.
I'm so glad you're back, man. It's like, oh, we don't have anybody else who can host on the weekends. I talked about that. Like, I said this, I think, because I had to do a show yesterday on Sunday. I'm like, what happened to, like, giving the other young guys opportunities, man? You know? Where's the, like, I'm no longer, I used to be the young guy. I used to be the guy who got just, like, his opportunity on the weekends. Where are those guys? Like, what happens if we all got to go, like, we all have to travel somewhere, or we all have vacation on the same day, or it's a holiday. Nobody wants to work. Like, where's the opportunities for these other guys? I said, where's the Savannah States? Because I'm not Savannah State anymore. And then we basically came up with that I'm Rutgers. Hmm. Big enough to be in the Power Five, but not noticeable yet.
You know, if you have to ask the question, where are the Savannah States, you might just be the Savannah
State. Yeah, well, Savannah State don't work 12 days in a row. So
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah. It's very funny here. So I went to the FAU website to check out that schedule for the 1-11 season.
Alfred Morris here?
Yeah. So they start off with Florida, Michigan, and all these are on the road because they were opening the new stadium, but they hadn't finished building it yet. At Florida, at Michigan State, at Auburn, at LSU. That's the first four games of the season. That's their non-conference schedule. I go to the – they win November 26th, last game of the season – or second to last game of the season – I go to the box score. They won 38-35. But I go to the box score, and on the picture, I'm going to show this to you, Greg. On the picture, it says UAB had 38 and FAU had 35. Like, that's your only win of the season, and you couldn't get that right on the website.
Yeah, because there's one part that has it right, but then in the bigger font... And
with the team pictures and
with
name.
With the logos there, they've got it. The scores reversed.
Oh, my goodness. That's right. FAU for you.
That's embarrassing.
That's FAU in a nutshell, right?
I see Alfred Morris scored a one-yard touchdown.
Oh, he had the game of his life, man. Where's the, like, box score for this individual? Alfred Morris, 38 carries, 202 yards, 4 touchdowns. It's about damn time they gave this guy the ball, man. Like, I'm just going to pick a random game here on the schedule. Let's go to they lost 20-0 on parent family weekend to Western Kentucky. And Alfred Morris carried the ball here. This is riveting radio. 14 times. Versus 21 passes for David Cooey.
Who?
I don't know.
David Bowie?
Cooey. Oh. K-O-O-I. I remember they had a quarterback competition that year. And it's not like, like they were trailing to start the fourth quarter 6-0. So it's not like they were coming from behind the whole game, right?
Right. Like, it's not like they had to air it out.
Give this guy the ball. Yeah, Howard,
Coach Snellenberger.
He did not understand how things worked anymore.
He had lost it a little bit. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't all there. But
more concerned about grooming the mustache, maybe?
Bless his soul. Bless his soul, Mr. Snellenberger.
No doubt.
Anyway, 679-74 is where you can text in the show. Greg Likens, Zach Duarte, we'll be back here on 790 The Ticket. It has to be Metallica. No?
Come on, bro.
Let me hear the voice. Is there going to be a voice anytime soon?
Yeah, pretty soon.
Okay.
This is my favorite band growing up.
Oh, favorite band growing up? Backstreet Boys. Oh, God. It could be a couple. I don't know, like Pantera? Oh, boom!
Good call.
Yeah. There you go. By the way, you guys can text us at 67974. Text on The Ticket are driven by Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. This month, all new Toyotas are at clearance prices with 0% APR financing for 75 months on select models. I haven't been reading too much of the text tonight. I do apologize for that. But somebody did text in that we missed you, Greg. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Nobody missed you more than me. So.
Well, I was.
I never knew how much, like, you know, you never know how much you appreciate something until it's gone. I did not know how much I appreciated Greg Likens.
Well, it's good. I mean, we texted yesterday. I'm like, hey, man, I'm back in town. You're like, let's do it tomorrow. I'm like, let's do it tomorrow.
I was like,
perfect.
Get in here, baby.
Let's go.
Get in here.
It's game week.
I wanted to give you a big hug, man. I like realized, you know, it's like Greg's important, man.
Well, I'm looking forward to this weekend, especially.
Look at this text. How do you go from get my name out of your mouth to BFFs, I miss you, Greg?
Nobody brought up basketball.
That is so true. I forgot about that, man.
I was actually listening to that show over the weekend one time, and I was literally having a blast because I know Greg can play basketball very well.
Well, see, like, again, this is where the game of telephone has completely misinterpreted the message, right? Mm. Like, you know, when you ask a player in the NFL, like, hey, man, who's the – or the guys that are going to be drafted, right? Like, oh, who should be the number one pick? And they're like, oh, it should be me. It's the same way, man. I'm like, oh, yeah, who's going to win in Greg versus me in basketball? I'm like, yeah, me.
Greg.
Okay, that's your opinion. You're entitled to it. I think I'm going to win.
Well, here's the only issue here is that you're comparing yourself to a professional athlete, right? You just said NFL player.
I'm giving the example.
No, I know, but like, I don't think it fully translates. It'd be different if you were, say, like a college basketball player, right? And there was, you know, right? Like, there has to be some sort of applicable correlation here. Instead,
like, you have, like, you have to have the money to put your mouth on. Basically,
something
what that
like
comes
that.
Down to, like, yes. If you're a professional athlete, you have the right to feel that level of confidence.
Correct.
You know? That, I think that's what Greg is trying to say.
Correct. Like, it'd be different,
guys.
No, I mean, like, it'd be different.
Look,
if,
man, I'm just confident in myself, guys.
I understand
this,
that.
This is where it'd be different, Zach. If you level with me here for a moment, you do the Spartan races.
Yes.
Yes. No, I'm yes. So I want to make sure I had the yeah. proper terminology here I'm, and the
by
the
way,
right, the right brand.
Just something that was really cool this weekend. The Spartan Race has like a national series and it's like a year long competition. It was on ESPN this weekend.
I've seen it on the listing.
It was so cool. I was like, holy hell, this is awesome. And I watched it for like half an hour. Like, these things are getting on ESPN now. It's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome.
Couple takeaways before I get back to what I was talking about. You have time to watch Spartan Races on ESPN, but not Hard Knocks. But just,
whoa, hold on. It was on my phone. It was on my phone. Okay, it was on my phone. On my phone.
Getting back to my point, if you brought up the Spartan Race and I said, hey, I could beat Zach in the Spartan Race, then you would have the room to talk and you'd say, hey, listen, I feel confident in my ability to take on anybody in the Spartan Race
right.
because that's something 100%. You do.
Yes.
Right. And great.
But you don't play basketball.
But I played a lot of basketball, man. Like, I tore my ACL And I had microfracture surgery because of basketball. And I got 7 stitches above the eye playing basketball. Like, I've played a lot of basketball. A lot of basketball.
I just found it really amusing because I was driving around listening to that show on the weekend, and I don't know if it was you or if it was Rashad. Somebody said that Greg couldn't dribble to their left. And, like, I saw Greg playing, like, a charity basketball game many years ago, and I was shocked at how well Greg played basketball. So I was internally laughing.
That
like,
was probably me.
I was like, dude, Greg is going to, like, Woody Harrelson, white men can't jump these guys.
It was probably me who said that, though. That's always my, like, number one. Like, can this guy dribble left? And that's a safe assumption because most people can't. And, look, Greg, I totally respect your right to be like, yeah, I'm going to kick your ass. But at the same time, like, what people have been telling you I've been saying is not what I've been saying. Like, it's just not. It's just me having full confidence in myself that I could beat anybody in basketball. That's all it is.
Well, I think none of us are saying what you are describing is inaccurate. What I believe...
But what's been passed on to you from others via texters and people you've done shows with is not accurate at all.
No, but
and that message gets totally misconstrued.
But what I want to get to the bottom of is why you have so much confidence in your ability. I think that's what everybody is calling you out about. It's not that you have confidence. It's that where is the root of this confidence?
I've played a lot of basketball. I feel confident in my skills. Every now and then I...
Are you respected on the playground?
Nope.
Let's just say this, and again, perhaps this was all inaccurate, so I want to be fair. So I will let you provide a rebuttal here, but based on the accounts from the last two Miami Heat media challenges, you did not receive any glowing praise about your performance.
No, and I've probably taken 3 combined shots in the 2 years. So,
is there a reason for that?
Well, last year it was only 3-on-3, and there was like 6 of us, so the playing time was very scattered. This year, we only played in 3 games. So, I mean, the games are they're like 5 minutes long or 10 minutes long, and it's a running clock. Doesn't stop. So, didn't take that many shots. So, I'm also not going to force a shot. The one shot I took this year was the game was ending, and we were down by 2, so I chucked up a 3. Like, that was the one shot I took this year. It is what it is, you know? I'm not Carmelo Anthony out there, you know? I'm like Shane Battier. I take the wise, you know, the smart shot. And I also defend with my hand in your face, even while you're shooting.
That's what it is? Okay.
I just gave Greg the scouting report, yeah. But the message that, like, because I've heard it. And, like, the message is, like, I totally understand why you're all amped up and super upset. What the hell just happened? He was trying to stop what I was saying there. Like, I totally understand why, because I've never heard Greg amped up. And he's like, why don't you keep my name out of your mouth? And I was like, holy hell. I was like, Greg is angry. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, what your
response? Yeah, I heard angry Greg that day driving around. Like, I literally sat in front of CBS for like 10 minutes listening to this segment laughing because I know Greg and I hear
but,
Greg
but
mad.
Here's the thing, like,
and I know Greg can play. Like, when I saw Greg play, like, I'll be honest with you, Greg. I don't think I've ever told you this. I saw you play in like a charity game one time. And, like, I think me and Rabinowitz or somebody, we were like kind of, like, having a laugh or, like, whatever. And then, like, I watched you play. I'm like, holy crap. Like Greg can play. Like, like he's not just some dude. Like, we were thinking, what is Greg doing out here? But Greg could play. And I was, like, shocked.
Well, here's the thing.
So then years later, I'm driving around. I'm hearing this conversation. These guys are talking about Greg can't play. I'm like, dude. I'm literally in my head. I'm going, Greg, challenge them for money. Like,
a couple things about that. First of all. Like, your whole thing was somebody said that I started talking that I'm better at you than basketball.
Well, it was Brian Monroe.
Like, no.
Who was my co-host.
Somebody texted it in.
Right, but Brian Monroe, who's sitting alongside me on the air, was doing a show with you the night before, and he brought it up and said that that's what you said. So, it's either...
But I didn't be, like, out of thin air, like, oh, yeah, I can beat Greg Likens at basketball. That's not what happened. Somebody texted it in because we were talking about the Miami Heat media tournament. And it was like somebody jokingly said, who are the most unathletic people at 7-9 a ticket? And it was like me and Beast and everybody who was extremely overweight at the radio station. I was like, no, I'm pretty athletic. I play a lot of basketball. And they're like, well, can you beat this person? And they're like, Greg Likens. I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm better than Greg Likens. That's all it was. I didn't bring up your name out of thin air. I was like, you know who sucks at basketball? That Greg Likens. But that's what it was made to seem like. He's like, get my name out of your mouth.
Well, because Brian Monroe came on the next day and he said, by the way, Zach says he can beat you in basketball.
See, proper context.
And I said, really? Why would he say that?
And the thing is, I could just so see Greg working himself into that steam.
No,
like,
no,
oh,
but,
yeah?
But I understand it from his point of view. I understand why he thinks it that way. Because he's never getting the proper context of what I'm saying.
I don't know if you need context.
You
because,
do need context.
The assertion that you made that you could beat me in basketball is so ridiculous that it should get me fired.
You gotta
up.
Prove it, man. You gotta prove it.
I mean, I think
you gotta
I think,
prove it.
I think
you're
I think,
the one who. Oh, I work too much. I don't have any time.
You have never once challenged or invited me to play.
Okay,
basketball.
Okay, wait a minute. You work at a gym. Is there a basketball
court? No,
there's
not. There's not.
Okay, let's find a playground. Let's solve this.
Hey, we were in Alabama together. I tried.
You didn't try.
Not seriously. I was like, please don't say, please don't. And then here's the other thing too. And like, Greg, if you beat me, that's all fine and dandy. But you gotta help us in the media tournament, man. Where you at?
Yeah, that's on you there, Greg. I mean, come
I
on.
Had somebody had to work.
No, not you.
Who? You've already said there's nobody else to work. You took the day off to play.
But here's the thing: the email comes out like a month ahead.
Right.
So you say, yeah, I'll play, and they're going to have to figure that out on their – that's
Wait,
not your problem.
Let me ask
that's
you,
their problem.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Would the radio station pay me to play in the media game?
No.
Will they pay me to do a radio show?
Yes.
That's your answer.
But it's about the pride, man.
Logical. Flawlessly logical.
If you're the
pride of – the pride of what? Pride of me
yeah.
or representing the radio
yes,
station?
Yes, the pride of representing 790 and Entercom now.
I really
now
don't.
Now he represents and the janitors and all these seven
dude,
people, seven
I,
radio
I,
stations.
I kind of see Greg's point
that
of view here.
That does not motivate me.
This is not exactly the two-on-two for Brotherhood tournament over here where there's like a couple $1,000 prizes at the same time. I have to give it to Greg on that one.
Well, oh. I can't wait to represent 790 the ticket in Entercom.
I need you out there, man. I need
you
out there.
You could
there,
beat
Greg.
640 Sports.
Next year, Greg, you're gonna get out there, right?
Perhaps so.
There's free food.
Well, did you bring your containers?
Yeah, it's just there. It's the I think what is it? Was it Jimmy John's
Tupperware?
So you could just like, you know.
Do you eat before you ball, Duarte?
I eat like several times a day, dude.
Yeah, bro, but you can't eat before you go.
Not
out
like
there,
right man. Before, no, but maybe like an hour before.
Or we're running out there with a stomach full of sub.
I have to have sustenance out there.
By the way,
I'm a big body.
Were you implying that I'd be motivated by representing the janitors here? The same
everybody here.
The same janitors that come in during a live show.
Yes, that was you know that was everybody
Leave
figuring.
Poor Esmeralda
yeah,
alone.
Right. I actually told Danny the story. I was like, yeah, I was on the air one day and the door opened and I was like, I'm talking on the radio and then you just hear whoosh, 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 like a giant plastic bag being opened to put in the trash. I'm like, I'm on the radio right
Irony
now.
Irony for context, like I was here the first couple of nights when we first moved in here and I got to know her. Her name's Esmeralda. She's very nice. When she would come to like the producer studio at QAM, she would look at me, wave like, "Can I come in and take out the trash?" And I'd be like, "Yes, come on in and take out the trash." So I don't know why she gave me that courtesy and just figured to just roll into your studio that way. Like I don't know if it's the same cleaning lady girl. This doesn't jive with my information. I feel bad, but you know
it's all good. Like I figured there was a misunderstanding.
It's a hell of a story to tell, though.
I figured it was just a misunderstanding, so. No big deal. Anyways, 67974s. Lots of texts coming in here. Someone says, Duarte and Likens are so pathetic athletically, both of you would lose. I mean, that's not how.
No, they said both of you would lose. It goes on to Beast, which doesn't get any worse.
Oh, both of you would lose to Beast, which doesn't get any worse. There you go.
Yeah.
This is getting weird. Is the board op going to ask Greg for an autograph?
No, but I appreciate the kind words.
No,
so,
hey, you
yeah.
know, man, look, I'm not going to lie, dude. Like, I was honestly shocked at how well Greg played. Like, it just really caught me off guard. You know, that's why. And then I found the whole conversation that Saturday afternoon just extremely, extremely hilarious. Like, I was just thinking about it, like, all week. It was so funny.
Well, I will say this, that, you know, I didn't play college basketball or anything like that. But I do feel like when I talk basketball, I have some credibility, whether people believe it or not. So,
yes.
I'll leave it at that.
I tore my ACL for the intramural team.
Could go out for intramurals, bro.
We'll be back here on 790 The Ticket.